So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
So how have you been?
No complaints. Everything is great.
What's the deal with people who have student loans and I guess haven't been paying on them because of forbearance?
Yeah. So basically, loans have been in forbearance since right around the time of the COVID pandemic. So that was 2020. So it's essentially 5 years later. And a lot of people have forgotten about their loans or kind of just wishful thinking. Maybe they just disappeared or they were forgiven. There's been so much in the news. And the government is going to be ramping up its giant, monstrous collection activities once again. They have a collections machine. And it's not like owing on a credit card debt or a private loan where you get a notice from a debt collector or maybe they go to court and you have a chance to defend. If you're in default on your federal loans, they have something called an administrative wage garnishment where they go right in and garnish your wages. They can also take your tax refund. They can do something called a Social Security offset where they take your Social Security benefits from you. So it's very important not to be in default on federal loans. Now is the time to get it straightened out.
How do you know if you are in default? Because a lot of you who haven't been paying have not been in default. You've been in forbearance.
Right. So the way to tell is to go to studentaid.gov, the site run by the Department of Ed. It's probably been a long time. You'll probably have to verify your identity, create an account. Just make sure you put your Social Security number in there, your date of birth, and use whatever email address is the most convenient. They'll send you a link and verify that it's you. You click on the link, then you go to studentaid.gov. All of your loans will populate in there, and they'll tell you exactly how much you owe. If it shows on there that you're in a debt collections recovery, then that means that your loans are in default. And it'll tell you that your loans are in default. You want to get out of default. And there are a couple ways to get you out of default and get you current and back to good standing.
Does this disqualify you then from the repayment programs that enable you to pay less on your loans because now you're in default?
Yes. Yeah. So you're not eligible for forgiveness on your loans when you're in default. You can't do public service loan forgiveness or income-driven repayment. They're just garnishing your wages. And the being in default on your federal loans is a serious thing. It's going to be reported on everybody's credit. And then they're also going to garnish wages. And so they're kind of going back to the old system, which was very aggressive. And so really, we're just trying to get the word out there. If you haven't made a payment, you don't know, go to studentaid.gov. You can give us a call and we can walk you through it.
This doesn't sound like the Biden administration.
No, I mean, the Biden administration has really kicked the can down the road for a really long time, trying to give people as much time as possible. But now I think it's gotten to the point where it's 5 years later, and a lot of people just kind of assumed that the loans were forgiven because there have been so much out there in the news about loan forgiveness.
Well, are, in fact, some people still legitimately in forbearance?
Some people are. So if you were in the SAVE plan, there's about 8 million borrowers. You went into the SAVE plan, you got approved. We're waiting for a decision out of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals to see if that SAVE plan, which lowered your payment quite drastically, is going to survive. I don't think it will. I think it's going to be overturned. And then what they're going to probably do is send millions of people statements right away saying your loans are due and putting you in the standard payment plan, which is very high. You'll get very scary statements stating, you know, your loan payment's due. It's $2,000 a month due in 5 days.
So is that a lot of people right now that were in forbearance and now have to start paying or maybe are already in default on those loans and maybe don't know it? I mean,
yeah, there are millions of people in default and don't know it.
I mean, but just think about how many people were enjoying forbearance.
Yes. I mean, for 5 years, the
and
loans have
nobody
been
nobody has sent you a note, or maybe they sent a note that was vague and you're just not paying.
Or maybe it's going to your junk mail. Check your junk mail folder. If you see anything from, there's four federal servicers, Mohila, Ed Financial, Nelnet, and Aid Vantage. So if you see any of those in your inbox or in your junk mail, click on it and take a look at it.
They send out paper mail too, don't they?
They do, but not always. So,
okay. So anything else we should know about this twist?
Well, there are fantastic options available. I know everybody is very concerned about the Trump administration. What does this mean? And I want to put some people's concerns at ease, because any major changes to the statute, they would have to have, by they I mean Republicans, would need 60 votes in the Senate to make any big changes to the statute. They have 53 vote majority right now. So it would take years to really change the statute, because there have to be public hearings, has to go through Congress, the Senate, and then be signed by the president. So that would, any major changes, even if they did have the political will to get the 60 votes, wouldn't even take place until probably 26 or 27. So I'm not worried about any major changes that will affect people's ability to get into income-based payment or get their loans forgiven. But what I am worried about is people not knowing they have loans, getting their wages garnished, or getting their Social Security or tax refunds taken from them, mm-hmm. when we can easily get them out of default and get them into a really low monthly payment plan.
If you're in the private sector, they can garnish your wages?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For student debt?
Yes.
Okay. Ray, I'm going to stop inviting you on the show when your commercial is running, because I know this is good for your business, but I don't ask you to come on because it's a commercial. I ask you to come on because it's good for our listeners as well. But to bear with me while I read a commercial.
Okay, make it good.
I know. Actually, I usually talk around this one. It's never too early to start planning your strategy to pay for your kids' college education, and Kaplan Law is here to help you navigate the journey. From how to obtain the best scholarships to the best practices in student loans, Kaplan Law Firm will create a customized strategy for you and your family. We don't talk that much about the fact that you guys help people with scholarships.
Yeah, we do a lot of pre-college planning.
Wow.
So, because people don't even know there's so much money available out there. So that means less that you need in student loans. And that's always a good thing, taking out less.
But for our listeners, I like to say, if you have already borrowed money, what can you do to minimize the payments? And if you, your kids, or grandkids are going to take out a loan, you need to know how much, from whom, in whose name, when.
Right, exactly.
And those are critical data points.
Right. And we want to make sure people know exactly what the payment is, so there's no surprises.
312-294-8989 is the Kaplan Law Firm phone number. 312-294-8989. You can click on financialrelief.com. I can't believe you were able to get that. Did that cost you an arm and a leg?
That was a long time ago. It did not back then.
Kaplan Law is located at 25 East Washington in Chicago. We've got some calls and text messages for you. But if I am with the disinterest that the incoming administration seems to have in the Department of Education, I wonder how ramped up the Education Department or these services are to handle all of the people that are going to try and manage their loans.
They're not prepared. That's why there are such long wait times. There are a lot of errors. Right at studentaid.gov, there's something we talked about, I don't know if you remember, it's called the IDR account adjustment. So the thing with federal loans is that your loans get forgiven after 20 years in repayment. And a lot of people were in forbearance for years, and they were in the wrong payment plan. So the Biden administration did this executive order, which is great. It gets you credit for those periods of forbearance that normally wouldn't count on that timeline, that 20 years till forgiven. So if you go to studentaid.gov, it will tell you how many years you have left until forgiveness. So you may only have a couple years left to make payments, and then your loans get forgiven anyway. So the key is you just want to make payments under an income-driven plan to get those loans forgiven. It's either 20 years or 25 years for plus loans.
312-981-7200. Tracy has a question for Ray Kaplan. Hey, Tracy, what can we do for you?
Hi. It kind of goes along the same lines of what you were just talking about. I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way to close the gap when your child has a balance left after all his scholarships and grants and all that good stuff. Is it the best to do a Parent PLUS loan or have them get a private loan like Discover Student Loans or something like that?
Great question. And I would say for the most part, in most circumstances, I would have the parent with, there's kind of an analysis to do there, but I would have you take out a federal Parent PLUS loan rather than have him take out a private loan, because most of the time with private loans, they're going to make the parent a cosigner anyway. So you're going to be on the hook for it. And the terms of payment are a lot less flexible for private loans than they are for federal loans. For federal Parent Plus loans, you can have deferment while your child is in school, so no payments while the child is in school. And then the payments will be based on the borrower's income. So if you have one parent who's maybe making less money than the other, perhaps they should be the Parent Plus borrower, and you can exclude your spouse's income under the current statute. Or if you have a parent who is working in the public sector, then perhaps they should be the Parent Plus borrower, because then they can get loan forgiveness under public service loan forgiveness. So there's an analysis to be done there to help you determine, should I take out a Parent Plus loan? And if so, should it, you know, which parent should it be?
Mm. And then the best way of doing that is going...
I would go right to studentaid.gov. On the top of the page, it'll say loans. Hold your cursor there, and then there'll be a drop down, and it'll say plus loans. And then you click on there, and it'll say, I'm a parent of a student. And then you can follow those links.
Or you can call Ray Kaplan, and they'll walk you through that. But Tracy, what kind of numbers are you looking at for your young person?
Not a lot. He did a fantastic job in high school, and he just has his housing that needs to get covered. So
okay, so there's also a really good website called Scholarship Owl. It's a great website that basically curates all of the scholarships available at different schools, and even applies automatically for you each year. And he may be eligible for another scholarship out there that might cover it. But if not, I would definitely go through studentaid.gov, take out a Parent Plus loan, and we can certainly walk you through that and also make you aware of which payment plan is going to make the most sense for you, because the servicers will give you, for the most part, bad advice.
Who do you not like in that space?
You don't like any of them, but there's some that are worse than others. Yes, I prefer Aidvantage. If I had to choose one, yeah, I like Aidvantage. They answer the phone. They are responsive. You know, there are some other federal servicers where I was telling John, we are on hold with them for 2-3 hours, and then they drop the call. And it's very difficult to get a hold of a human being, and it's very frustrating. It's frustrating for our clients. It's frustrating for borrowers, but that's what we're here for, is to take that frustration for you guys, for you borrowers.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Tracy, I'll give the contact information for Ray in a couple of minutes. Do student loans start accruing interest? This is from one of our listeners. After graduation or as soon as you take out the loan?
So that's a great question. So if you look at your federal loan, the breakdown, it'll show subsidized loans and unsubsidized loans. All that means is that for the subsidized loans, the Department of Ed pays the interest while you are in school. And for the unsubsidized, it does not. So interest starts to accrue right away as soon as they're dispersed. And I can't tell you how many times we talk to people who are shocked at how, well, I took out $20,000 and I was in school, and then I come out of school and it's $25,000. Interest starts to accrue right away as soon as they're dispersed, and it capitalizes. So the interest that accrues gets added to the balance of the loan, and then interest accrues on that new higher principal as
right,
well.
Right, which is how some people pay on loans for years and end up still owing more than they originally borrowed.
Yep.
This person said about that, does it start accruing when? We would like our kids to each take out the basic $5,500 federal loan each year to have some skin in the game. But obviously, we don't want to pay more interest on it than is necessary. Does it depend on the type of loan? You just answered that, right?
Right. I agree. They should. Your kids should take out their own student loans, have them accept their own loans, and they will have some skin in the game. But the Department of Ed's view for undergrad is that it's largely the parents' responsibility. So if they're only getting $5,500 a year, which is the standard, and let's say tuition's $30,000 for the balance there, I would take out a Parent Plus loan.
Ron, you had a question about a Parent Plus loan, right?
Yes. Is that considered under the federal student loan? Make a distinction for them. And then also with the Parent Plus loan, is that eligible for the income reduction as far as the payment?
Right.
Great question. And yes, so federal Parent Plus loans that you can get at studentaid.gov, those are federal student loans. Anything there is a federal loan from the Department of Ed, including Parent PLUS loans, and they are eligible for an income-driven repayment plan called Income Contingent Repayment, which is kind of a high income-driven payment plan. It's 20% of your adjusted gross income. We do actually have a way around that right now where we can potentially get you into a lower payment plan under income-based repayment, and that rule may be ending in July. Hopefully it won't, but there is a way around that higher monthly payment for federal Parent PLUS loans.
Your website is what?
It's financialrelief.com or raykaplan.com.
312-294-8989 is the phone number. Kaplan Law. Okay, Ray. This has been helpful. Thank you.